Over the Mall is brought to you by Soccer America. Soccer America, the soccer paper of record. Go to socceramerica.com and sign up for your subscription today. More information on all our sponsors at overtheball.com/sponsors.
Hey, this is Bob Lee, and you're listening to Over the Ball with Kevin Flynn, the world's game from an American perspective.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Over the Ball with Kevin Flynn and Dave Gallego, the world's game from an American perspective. Today's guest on OTB is American Outlaws Managing Director, Monica Bosilivac. Now, she is also Football for the World Foundation Executive Director. So it'd be great to talk to her, Dave. This is a great get. I've always admired the work that the American Outlaws have done. And, you know, we got to ask you this, Dave. When U.S. plays Mexico, and it's like an away game, we got to get American Outlaws to get even more on the ball and get out there representing, which they always do. So it'll be nice to talk to her. But that's an interesting dynamic, playing in the United States, and it's an away crowd. But it hasn't helped Mexico in the last couple of outings, obviously.
The American Outlaws, they're a great organization, nonprofit group dedicated to organizing support for the men's, women's, and youth U.S. soccer teams. They have a lot of chapters, I think over 200 chapters. So be interested to see how you can sign up for this, because the more support we have, like you say, especially against teams like Mexico at home, the better.
Yeah. Right, absolutely. You just talk about all that stuff off the top of your head, or were you reading something? That sounded good. Sounded well rehearsed and nice.
I've been practicing that for the past 3 weeks, so that's it. That's all I have.
All right, well, a lot of football going on, the Euros, Champions League, Premier League, MLS. I am just watching Liverpool have a meltdown. My God, they got blasted out of Europa. They play again this week. Atalanta, it's... schooled them at home. Liverpool was at home, and then they lost this weekend as well. It's just, you know, there was hope for so many titles this year, and now it seems like it's all just, you know, you got to peak at the right time, man.
You're right. Exactly right. You have to peak at the right time, and the bottom kind of fell out at the wrong time. Again, getting spanked by the Italian squad at home. Not good. Not good.
And, you know, Salah does not look himself. Luis does not look himself. Nunes does not look himself. It's up front, really, because they're not giving up many goals, except for three against Atalanta. But that was after they were chasing the game a little bit. But it's amazing in this game, two things, momentum and then confidence, how it can change so quickly and so easily. They just do not look like they're playing confidently. Man City, on the other hand, are just kind of busting it out. They're playing well. And Arsenal's still up there. So, great little race going on for the top three spots. Who's going to finish up top? So, again, another great finish coming our way with the Premier League. So, hey, but, you know, talking domestically, so excited to see, Messi's in Kansas City. 72,000 people. Kansas City, great soccer town.
Yep. From one goat to another, you see Patrick Mahomes was there to greet him, as was probably the entire city of Kansas City. It was great. I think that's a record crowd for soccer in that state. And, you know, I'm curious why other places don't do the same thing. I mean, some MLS stadiums can hold more than 25,000 people, but they moved this game to Arrowhead Stadium, and you should capitalize on that. I mean, quite frankly, even Messi's home team, Inter Miami, they play at that tiny stadium in Fort Lauderdale. I don't know why they don't move their games to Miami.
I don't know. You know, look, one of the worst things to see is Patriot Place when the Revolution plays there, a big football stadium.
Empty.
It is just empty. You know, the lower tier is empty and the upper tiers aren't even. It's really just so depressing. So I think I love these 25,000-30,000 seat theaters. I've been doing my play too long. I'm talking about theaters, but stadiums. You like to sell out. You like to make it supply and demand. And,
yep, exactly.
The Messi tour is great. I was actually surprised Mahomes had the wraparound black sunglasses on, doing the cool thing in the tunnel.
Yeah, well, he wears his sunglasses at night. You know that song, right? Corey Hart.
Messi recognized him. You know, I love when NBA stars recognize the soccer players sitting on the sidelines. It's just great.
Messi is a soccer god, and you know, probably, excuse me. One of the most impressive things about that game was the fact that it was pro Kansas City. It wasn't pro Messi. I mean, of course, everybody admires and respects Messi, but they were there for Messi, yes, but it was a pro Kansas City crowd, which was really, really cool.
Yeah, but of course, so you can root for your home team and also root for Messi. It's like my daughter, when she went to Yankees games, I said, we're Red Sox fans, but you can root for Derek Jeter. It's okay.
Yeah. But, you know, really cool. It was a great moment. And, you know, the two-time reigning Super Bowl champs are now are hosting, you know, the Kansas City soccer team. And to see Messi there, again, it was just a thing of beauty. And I want to see more of that. I want to see more of that. I definitely want to see Miami move to Hard Rock Stadium to play the games there.
Yeah, that it's been such a struggle even to get an MLS team there, you know, with Beckham and everybody. It's just been going on forever. When this show is back on Sirius XMFC, we were talking about Miami.
And Miami Fusion. Back then they had Carlos Valderrama with the Miami Fusion.
Yeah, very good. Very good. And those beautiful uniforms they had. But I think they've been trying to get a team in MLS, since Beckham, very smart move for him to do that with his contract, to have a team in there, and he'd be able to buy it at a certain value.
Oh, amazing. My gosh. Unbelievable. Yeah, he bought it for I think he bought the team for a few McDonald's coupons.
Right, exactly. McDonald dollars.
Kev, I'm not going to bring up the NASL Miami Toros, by the way. I'm not going to bring that up.
Wow, going way back for that one.
I'm not bringing it up, though.
I wanted to go back to Premier League, actually. And Chelsea midfielder Cole Palmer, huh, scored four goals and a hat trick and more in the first 30 minutes. So, yeah.
Crazy. What they hammered Everton. Everton is they have a beautiful stadium and a great crowd support. That management team, they keep losing points. They get points deducted for some sort of contractual something or other, or there's something going on. You know what I'm talking about? They're actually losing points.
Yeah, they're contractual infractions. So I think, they've lost points. They're teetering above relegation. So, my God, if Everton gets relegated, it would just be bizarre.
6-0, by the way. 6-0. And like you say, Cole Palmer, four goals and a hat trick within, 30 minutes. Come on. Give me a break.
That's backbreaking. And I tell you what, be a whole bunch of red cards at 6-0. People keep knocking it around. I mean, you don't give up. So it seems like they were pretty dejected. So Everton, obviously, big problems there. Talking about Spain, I know you're half Spanish. So they posted record revenues, huh?
Yep. It's crazy. $6 billion for last season, and revenues rose almost 20%. So I that's amazing. I mean, what else do you say? That's freaking amazing. That's big money.
And did you do the DNA check on that? Where is it coming from? Why is so much more revenue coming in? Is it world rights or something?
I have no idea. I mean, did the television rights bring in more revenue? I mean, you're talking about almost 20% compared to the previous campaign, 20% increase. Just really startling.
All right. So, a couple of things. So that's Spain.
Let's talk. There's a couple of other things about the Premier League. Actually, one other thing about the Premier League, and then I want to give kudos to Bayer Leverkusen. They won their first Bundesliga title in its 120 year history. I mean, the Detroit Lions can't complain. I mean,
you were there, weren't you?
Compare yourself to this team.
I know, 120 years, and they have fans, and they go to every game for 120 years. I love it. It's the way it's supposed to be, man. But I love when it gets mixed up on the top there. Yeah. So Bayer Leverkusen is a 5-0 win over Werder Bremen. So and I love watching German soccer. I enjoy it. I enjoy it very much.
No, I do as well. Absolutely. And. And also, second place wasn't even close. I mean, in the end, they led the second place team by 16 points. Right. And they had a German record unbeaten streak of 43 games. And that's across all competitions. Think about that for a second. The German first division? That's insane.
And it's not Bayern. So 120 years, though. Imagine that. That's unbelievable.
And Bayern Munich they were the champions for the past 11 years. Again, the Detroit Lions have nothing to complain about.
Yeah, exactly. No, they got plenty to complain about. Just 120 years is not one of them. Kudos to them.
And then also, getting back to the Premier League, I don't know what's going on with this coach at Nottingham Forest, but he finally had some sense, and he started Gio Reyna. And Gio Reyna had a great game. You know, he was coming off the bench for the past six games. But they're facing relegation, so you need to shake things up. So he finally started, and he had a good game.
Yeah. Well, I think it seems to me like every time a high-profile American player goes into a club, there's this whirlwind of excitement because they talk about the numbers demographically, over 300 million people here. What a big market in America. People think, okay, we signed an American player. There'll be some more, a new fan base and everything. But the problem is I almost feel like the coaches are like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'll make a decision when I put this player in.
You're right.
And I think it's sort of an anti-American bias. So and that's why I always complain about, you know, all the announcers on television are English. You know, it's like, it's ridiculous. I just don't think we get a fair shake sometimes. They're looking down our nose at us too quickly. But Gio's an impactful player. I think his physicality is not there, and I think that's what you need at sort of the Premier League level. But, boy, he's a genius.
And you know, he's a good passer, and he's good at finishing. You know, you mentioned the coach. I mean, the coach was very nonchalant about it. He said he played good, and he said he did okay. I mean, these are the words of the coach. So, no, he didn't play well. He played better than well. You have one of the top American playmakers, and America, the United States is top 15 in the whole world, whether you believe the rankings or not is not the point. He's one of the top playmakers for a top 15 world soccer organization.
Don't say power, but world,
Yeah, no, I wasn't going to say power, but thank you for saving me on that because I wouldn't say power either. But again, top playmaker for the United States, one of the top playmakers, and he's playing for Nottingham Forest, which is lucky to be in the Premier League. I mean, they've got one foot out the door. So
you see what happened with Pulisic, the same thing. I mean, they just tortured the kid, the press, and, you know, he was impactful even when he was playing for Chelsea, and yet people just were looking to discount him for some reason. So now he goes to Italy, does really well. Gio Reyna, I think, you know, I'm not sure if the Premier League is the best fit for him. Actually, I think Spain or Italy would be better, but,
right.
You know, he is. I think this will... this will be good for his game regardless. It will be good for the U.S. men's national team and how impactful he'll be for the U.S. So
they have to play. They have to play.
Yeah, so some good stuff. So, all right, well, why don't we take a break there, Dave? And when we come back, we'll be talking to the executive director of the American Outlaws.
Yep, Mara Bosilovac.
Bosilovac. Yeah, so hopefully we said it right. We'll ask her when she gets on, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Over the Ball. All right, joining us now on Over the Ball, she is the managing director of American Outlaws. She's also executive director of Football for World Foundation, which I want to learn a lot about here. Welcome to OTB, Monica Bosilovac. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Monica. Welcome.
Okay. Yeah. So did I say your name correctly?
Yes, which is always the first question I get asked on any podcast. So,
it is Monica then.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. All right, good.
Very good. So Monica, you know, Dave and I are both big fans of the American Outlaws. One of the things we were talking about before you got on the air, you know, early on, especially too, it was so wonderful to see that, the passion that the American Outlaws have for the game and how it really makes a difference to players when people are out there and they've got their back and rooting for them. Dave and I were talking about how can we get more American Outlaws at these U.S.-Mexico games. So we are in the majority at our own home games.
Well, number one, I think we just got to talk to some ticket sales and maybe not schedule back-to-back games so that the Mexico fans take all of the tickets and don't show up for our matches first. Like, logistics is number one. Right. But yeah, that's my job. How do we get more USA fans at games? So let's try to hack that together and give me the cheat codes. But it does make such a big difference when we have that big fan base. So I'm with you 100%. We need to get as many loud fans in the stadiums as possible. And then keep the peace after Mexico, you know, takes an L to the U.S. So
Monica, if you could tell us a little bit, like, what some of the advantages are of being in the group. And, I mean, it's obviously fun, but there's other things that go along with it, fundraising, et cetera. But, you know, we would like to get those numbers up. So if you could promote it somehow, because I know there's over 200 chapters. Tell us a little bit more about that. What's the most exciting part of being part of the group?
Yeah, the sentimental and truly the true value that I think you get from being an American Outlaw is that sense of community and that sense of connection that you get from meeting up with people to watch the games in your local chapters. Or once you come to an event, like once you come to an in-stadium, in-person game, you have this way to meet people ahead of time at the night before event or on game day to meet up with beforehand and just meet like a ton of passionate footy fans that have the same interest as you and share this love of the game. And then you automatically have this network of people that come to matches from all over the place. That you're going to a match in Denver, okay, you can link up with another American Outlaw fan there. You're going to a match in California, you have this like community and friendships and this network of people that love the US that you're able to connect with. And that to me is always like what gives me chills, because it's so fun to link up and do things with your friends. So it's this built-in network of community and family and just like people that love doing the same things that you do. So that's first and foremost, like, all right, you have this built-in community that's massive and travels across the world following something that you love. The second value, you get a free t-shirt every single year. There's lots of other like just benefits that you get from discount codes, access to different brands, access to different products maybe that you might be interested in that come as part of being that AO member throughout the year as well.
I got you. And so you can go to AmericanOutlaws.com to get more information. And I see that you can actually start your own chapter too.
Yes. So have 200 chapters and growing every day, every year, especially as you lead up into the World Cup. So if you're someone that's active and involved in your community or want to find another way to connect with other soccer loving fans, we have a onboarding process where if you want to start a chapter, we'll walk you through what it looks like to incorporate and be connected to then this larger network. So you get a lot of, you know, kickbacks and things as well from value adds of brands that want to partner with us and swag that we can pass out, other things that we can add into your chapter as part of the larger network. Yeah.
And Kevin was saying that he read a lot, like there's a hell week and you get hazed and you have to get branded. He was telling me that. I say none of that's true. Can you dispel the myth or is that true?
I can neither confirm nor deny, you know?
Yeah. Good answer, Monica.
I will say it's a very welcoming. It's definitely welcoming. It's so cool. I think as I've been introduced to more of the American Outlaws, like in my new role, it's been cool. And that's been the biggest myth to debunk is like, oh my gosh, no, everyone is so welcoming once you show up because we're just all there for footy.
You know, Monica, that was one of the things I've been caught in the middle of American Outlaw crowds at watching, you know, at watch parties and things. And it's so much fun. It heightens the viewing aspect of the game, you know, to share this passion with everybody. And what I love about the American Outlaws is there's a peaceful element to it. It's all about the game. You know, we watch some of the stuff that goes on overseas. It's kind of nice. It's almost like being at a Dead show. The Dead concert, people, all the peace lovers. It sounded nice, and they love the game. So, you know, one of the things as a former player that used to bother me was like people would just shout out nasty stuff to, you know, players. People be yelling at me that had never played the game ever. I guess that's their right, but it's so nice when you have a supportive fan base.
Yeah, I would say AO specifically as well. Just like because we've become a massive entity as a whole, and we do have this responsibility to the section. Like just. Some of the, whether it's racism, whether it's negative comments, like we are going to kind of squash that out as best possible, whenever possible. So big, like weight on us to take responsibility for that. But you do just, you also get to enjoy the camaraderie of the game and criticism of the game too. Like AO is not immune to being a critic and sometimes toughest critics of the game.
Absolutely.
Whether we've played or not.
Right.
What kind of feedback do you get from the men's and women's team? I mean, of course they're all for it, of course, and they're thrilled to have you. But what kind of feedback do they show you the love and respect?
I'll say that absolutely. Like they're always super supportive. And I'll say this, like the inside scoop or the inside lane, I got to be part of Media Day going into the Women's World Cup last summer. And so getting to have a touch point with all of the players as they made their way onto that roster, like that was always the biggest thing that they said was like noise in the stadium matters. Mm-hmm. And like, again, as I get deeper into Aon on the management side of things, like, I'll get texts from my friends across the stadium like, can you guys start a chant, please? Like, it's gotten too quiet in here. And you're like, okay, yeah, we are in charge of that now. Like, you're right. Let's go. Thanks for the feedback. So it does make a difference. And as you've said, like, you've played in it. There is a difference between an empty stadium or a quiet stadium, or especially when you travel, having that home court, home field advantage almost when you have a large base that's going to be loud for you.
You know, Monica, you're very young. I would imagine. But it's for me, it's always been interesting being on the floor with the players, men and women, to mm-hmm. see how young they really are. You know, so much weight is on the U.S. women's national team and men's national team's shoulders. Then you look at them, you're like, oh, my God, he or she is. She's 18. Like, she's 20.
You're a teenager. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're playing. Is that over? Is that, has it changed your view of the game?
I used to really feel that, to be honest. I used to feel that way about college sports. I was like, wow, like grown men are getting really upset and about like these college kids. And I put as a college athlete too. I'm like, we're just in college. We're kids like playing the sport. So you're, which is a little bit comical, but then you're so right. You do have to kind of have that frame of reference to be like, wow, the maturity that these younger players have, particularly, especially the teenagers that haven't made their way through college yet or played on that bigger stage, you're like, that's a really good frame of reference just to keep, because it is this massive weight. And the players carry it well. They carry it with such maturity. It's so impressive at the end of the day. But I am always a little bit stunned by that. Like, okay, wait, yeah, point of reference, how old are you? I'm also always, whenever I get the chance to meet any players, I'm like, oh, wait, you're only this tall? Like, we're the same height? Like, I could have played against you? Like,
yeah, you think everybody's 6'2".
Yeah.
That's so funny. So tell us what the most raucous crowd and that you've been involved with, and ooh, maybe the most exciting game you witnessed as part of the American Outlaws.
Yeah, so my experiences, like as an AO member, member of American Outlaws, and as a fan of the game, most of mine have come from women's World Cup events or games on the women's side, and until recently. And everyone always would say to me, like, "Oh no, like just wait, because the audience for men's matches is so different than the audience for women's matches." And so I was going into it being like, "Oh my, it's gonna be a full out brawl when I go to this men's match." And it wasn't. It was still, like I said, very calm and welcoming and inclusive and a lot of fun. And until most recently, I was at the end of the Mexico-USA game for Nations League. And so that was when, like, oh, no, this, and now I'm part of the experience where, like, beer and other objects are being thrown at me because I am in the supporter section. And I think that wasn't even the worst of what, like, happened. But you see these videos come out of fans, and people will tell me that have been in AO for years, like, no, that's the Mexico fan base, and that's kind of an experience that you have to be ready for. So that's on the, you know, maybe more negative, like ruckus side of things. Mm-hmm. But
sure,
the story that always stands out to me, or that multiple AO members will have brought up to me, and I wasn't there for this moment, but was the quarterfinal march in Paris for the Women's World Cup match in France 2019. So it was a quarterfinal matchup that should have been, you know, could have been the final that year. And they blocked off the streets of Paris to do this march. And it was just like this massive crowd. And I wasn't even there, but I've heard the story and like how meaningful that moment was to multiple AO members that were there. It always gives me chills because it was just this like super, I don't even know how to describe. Like, it's a feeling. You can't describe it. It's a feeling of like this big camaraderie that you have when you're in this massive parade marching to, or march going to a match of that.
Yep. An enormous sense of pride. Enormous sense of pride, right?
Monica, absolutely. I've always, events like that, I always feel are an interesting combination of like Super Bowl, World Cup, Olympics. You know, you're representing your country, so it becomes so much more. Mm-hmm. And then you're going through the streets of Paris, and the French are standing on the sidelines going, "It is all so pointless. Why do they walk and shield the game so much?"
Was it in Marseille? Then, like you were with the wrong pair. You were with the wrong French fans. If they were being snobs about it, you know.
I was there in '98, covering the game for Fox, gosh. And I remember the French weren't into it. They just weren't into it. And it was like a love fest until the English got there. Then some bad stuff happened. But as the French continued to start to win, it really brought the country together. And, you know, you talk about it's a former colonial power. And so the African players who are now French, it really brought the country together in a way that the United States is a land of immigrants as well. What I love about the game, the unifying force that this game has, and you talked about, you know, equity and inclusion and everybody, you know, be nice to each other. So talking about the Mexico fans, it seems like a couple of them got thrown out this last game. And I'm hoping that there's video coverage of whoever throws, you know, here's a guy who's never played the game professionally or on any high level, throwing a beer at a highly trained athlete. It's just so pathetic. Unfortunately, it's a little cultural. People like, my friends who are Mexican are like, oh man, it's just how we roll. And I'm kind of like, well, it's kind of uncool, dude, you know? So I was happy to see some people getting thrown out, actually.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well,
They get carried away, though. I mean, it's also the homophobic chants.
Right.
I mean, the Mexican fans, they really, really bring it.
Yeah.
Not in a good way.
And this, I could take us down like a rabbit hole, so you can stop me as well. But and maybe you guys know more about this than I do, but I've spoken to people before as well that are now they're in charge of in stadium using microphones to then identify if and when something negative gets said and being able to then target that and pinpoint who in the crowd said it. So of course, like, the microphones help you with where it's going to come from. There's cameras, of course, but then you can pair up with it. But this technology then is like, okay, if this gets picked up on the microphone, if you remember the One Love armbands, this like campaign from it is then anytime something negative gets said in a stadium to then play One Love on the loudspeaker. So rather than like draw attention to the negative act that's happening, actually twist it into a positive like activity for everybody. And it's a sing-along song that does promote unity, like the face of unity, you know? So it's kind of like trying to figure out and study how human behavior and how fan behavior changes in a stadium when something negative happens. And still hold the person accountable to do it. But it's cool like how technology and stadium.
Big brother is watching, advanced. I guess. So we're going to Giant games in East Rutherford, New Jersey with my dad. And boy, the stuff in the stands that were said was just asinine, but it was usually the exception, not the rule. Yeah. You know, people are like, okay, that guy's drunk. He's howling things that are bad. So, that's interesting that they're going to match it up. I think you guys, when Mexico was down and they were losing, that's why they start to do that chant, because they've got nothing to lose at that point. They're just thrown out there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. And then it's always a bummer when it does stop play, because you're like, all right, the players can't do anything about this. But
right.
Absolutely. So thank you for recognizing that, because Kevin sometimes doesn't. Oh, Kevin, I love you.
Footy. I'm just talking.
I kid. All right. So, so once upon a time, there was Sam's Army. Which are now defunct. So what are the differences between both groups, and what do you think led to their demise?
As you said, I'm very young, so I wasn't around. No.
We're very young also.
Exactly. So, I mean, Sam's Army, from what I understand, I think there's still like members that were part of Sam's Army that are part of AO. And from what I know and understand, they've been supportive of like, all right, we're all here for the same thing. Like, it is growing American soccer culture in some way, shape, or form. So hope that they like have still found their community in some way. Then I know there's another group.
You want it to be like the Sharks and Jets, you know, in West Side Story.
And I know there's been other groups that have popped up as well, whether it's a subset of, you know, AO in one location, you know, kind of a spinoff chapter that's just trying to be in, a certain city per se, or other ones that have tried to pop up that then want to expand and build out in a similar network in way, shape, or form. And again, I'm newer to this role, but anytime that I've come across people working to grow those organizations, they've been very much so like, no, we're members of AO too, but we want to have a little something extra. We want to have Spanish chants happening as well to represent the Spanish fan. I'm like, that's amazing. And we've all said this at AO too, like, that's amazing. We want to incorporate that as well. The biggest kind of differentiator is just what it takes to really manage and grow and take care of a membership base of over 25,000 members, which is what AO has grown into. And so it takes a lot, and it's been built up over 17 years. So curious to see. And I think we've had some open conversations about what working together with other supporters groups look like. And we're all here for the same thing. Like, we want loud in stadium sections for all of our games.
Actually, I mean, so looking at the next handful of games, so you have women's national team plays South Korea in Colorado. Then the women play South Korea again in St. Paul, Minnesota. And then men play.
Those will be Emma Hayes' first two games, correct?
Yep, absolutely. June 1st is the first game. And then the men's national team plays Colombia in Maryland. That's a friendly. And then Brazil. So these are all great ways to join your local chapter. And if there isn't a chapter there, maybe start one.
Join your local chapter. Do it. Yes, so Monica, retweet, Dave. Thank you for the plug.
So you went to school in Nebraska. Did you play at Nebraska?
I did. So yes, I did.
So you started this other foundation when you were in college called the World Foundation. Talk a little bit about that, about, you know, how you started it, why you started it, and what's happened with it.
Was really fortunate in my collegiate playing days. The school that I went to originally was a D2 university, and I was there during this transition to Division I. So part of the reason I selected that school, right, was like, okay, they were national champions a few years prior. I'm going to have maybe a little bit of flexibility of like, do I want to travel abroad? Do I want to study abroad? And then we go through this transition. We become Division I. And I always give credit to my coach because I think he's the only Division I coach in the country that was like, yeah, you can still go study abroad. And so I did. And I went to Botswana, and it was my first time traveling outside of the state. And it was my first time truly realizing how big of a sport football was. Yeah. Like, I had no idea that the rest of the world was out here like, you know, being the biggest fan ever. So I had multiple layered experiences as a female athlete now wanting to play pickup and stay in college soccer shape in Botswana. And then I went and spent some time in Tanzania as well. So I was a soccer coach there for a girls program. And again, still like staying fit and playing as much as possible. So that reception into like, oh, wait, you're not just here to watch, like you're here to play. Just I broke some necks, I think, is what happened. And so it was those experiences, along with working with kids there, just realized I'm a college athlete. I get a lot of new equipment every year. There are kids and communities that can put this to good use. How can I move equipment from point A to point B? That was first and foremost, collecting and redistributing equipment is how it started in my college locker room, and then shipping items abroad to people in the networks that I had built out. And simultaneously, there was a gentleman from Canada who was starting and doing this work. So he started Football for the World in Canada, and eventually I was able to turn it into a nonprofit in the States. It started as equipment. We've rolled in as well field renovations and then programming for kids. So bringing in coaches, training coaches, and working with youth who in communities that otherwise wouldn't have that access and opportunity to quality coaches and program, and building that pipeline. Because it is this combination of those three things that people and kids need in order to have this like full pie of access to the game.
God, so, well, you're making me feel like a loser. I got to get up earlier in the morning, do more with my life, man. You know, that's fantastic.
Well, that was great.
Thank you very much for that. Yeah. I mean, I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, do you have, first tell us how people can donate and how they can get involved in the cause, and how do you actually get the materials to these communities? Because I always hear nightmares of when the Red Cross tries to get involved in something, or whatever the case may be, it's always difficult to get supplies where they need to go. Do you have any problems with that?
Yeah. So, we've shipped through, like, I just have a gentleman in my phone. His name is like Mike Barrel Guy. You know, he's in charge of shipping the barrels from Omaha, Nebraska to Ghana, and he's amazing.
By the way, that's amazing. That's amazing that's his name and that's what he does. That's really, you don't hear about that.
It's crazy. So we've tried and tested so many different methods. So it's anything from volunteers that are going on these trips and taking items in suitcases to UPS, USPS, FedEx, DHL, local shippers and shipping logistics companies as well that are willing to work with us. Every country is different. Every country has different import laws. So we just have to navigate those like you would any business as well.
Mm. Okay, do you have a day job, first of all?
Yeah.
Do you want one?
Yeah, like 8 of them. Yeah.
The economy, I guess.
See, the piece as well is like, so many of these communities are connected into just like networks in the football space. So people that we know, maybe players that are from that community originally, that then we get connected to, and just growing the network that way. And I'll even like build this bridge for you. So AO Impact is the philanthropic charitable arm of the American Outlaws. So another like ad that you get from being an American Outlaws member is that a portion of your membership fee goes into this fund every year, that then AO Impact distributes grants to organizations like Football for the World or other ones across the US that are working in the same like sport for social impact way or arm.
Hmm. You know, I mean, you talk about going to Botswana and it opens up your eyes to the world that's out there, which is really what this game does for so many of us. You know, I was in South Africa in Zulu country and I watched an Arsenal game in a, basically a mud hut with a TV wired to something, everybody wearing Arsenal shirts. It was just amazing, opening my eyes to, yeah, the global impact of this game, you know? And then also the good that they can do. This is why I always sing the praises of the U.S. women's national team. They traveled around the world where women didn't get to play at all.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like they were showing off and just pounding on other teams. They were sort of like, you should have the right to play this game. Why not? And so, you know, it's wonderful that you've embraced this game as a player and now as a philanthropist moving forward. It's great stuff.
Yep, agreed. Yeah, thank you for your efforts. That's fantastic.
So, Dave, you want to hit her up with some questions or the quick quiz?
Yeah, all right. So, Monica, I don't know if you've heard any of our prior podcasts. If you have, you'd be one of the millions of listeners.
You may be one of the millions of listeners who hasn't listened, but what position did you play, Monica?
Center midfielder. So, ooh, typically the eight.
You got two of them on the podcast, and then two, I don't know. Ken never played. Ken was actually a producer.
You were the
Dave. No, I was a center midfielder, but Dave.
I was a center forward.
You were the center midfielder. Okay.
Yeah,
I was going to give credit to Dave because he connected us. I just thought it translated. But,
you know, generally, Monica, center midfielders only talk to each other, or we talk to other people. You know, but and then Ken, our producer, was a skateboard champion,
professional skateboarder
with Tony Hawk. So very cool. I know he looks like a kind of a portly old dad, but he really was.
I'm so jealous of like every other sport because it was just like, so, and now I'm like, oh, I wish I could skateboard.
Well, Monica, if you play D1 soccer, you have no life, as you know. It's like it's very hard to do anything else. I enjoy it. Dave, did you play in college? I don't even know.
I played on the computer.
And here we go.
I could play computer soccer. No, there was too much drinking involved. Listen, college sports is way too much of a commitment. So kudos to you guys. I mean, who the hell wants to get up early? Who the hell doesn't want to drink on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Not me.
Yeah, we have AO for the American Outlaws and AA, Dave Gallego.
and AI.
AI. So, all right, well, hit him with the question.
All right, so here we go.
Getting to know you. Getting to know you.
So rapid fire questions. Yep, you don't have to answer them, but if you don't answer them, then you will be frowned upon by our entire listening audience. So here we go. Question number one. Mia Hamm or Alex Morgan?
Mia Hamm.
Okay, so that was a little controversial.
Like is it rapid fire or do I?
Oh, it's incredibly rapid. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You have like 3 seconds to answer. Okay. Great. All right. There are no wrong answers, but I will tell you if I don't agree.
Okay.
And my reaction basically means everything. Let's admit that. Messi or Ronaldo?
Messi.
All right. Good answer. Name something old school that you love.
Rap music? Like R&B? Old school R&B?
That's old school.
Okay.
As long as we're not talking like P. Diddy, we're talking about old school, like Motown, maybe.
We'll bring up P. Diddy, my God. We'll bring up R&B. How about Teddy Pendergrass or Luther Vandross?
All right. LAFC or the Galaxy?
LAFC.
That's right.
Angel City. Secret answer, Angel City. But
that's a great answer, actually. Yeah. Favorite vacation spot? You see, they're not all soccer related. I got to keep you on your toes.
Yeah, fair.
Botswana.
Favorite vacation spot?
Yeah.
I haven't been to Botswana in a long time, but I've got to say Jamaica.
Okay, very good. And female hero growing up?
Julie Foudy.
Oh, she's the best, man. That's a great answer.
You know, a lot of people say that.
Like, I've been quoted before, like, yes, Mia, but Julie was the impactful one for me.
Well, she's on.
A lot of people say that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Julie Foudy is, like, incredibly articulate and thoughtful and just, it's amazing. So,
yeah.
I'm in on Monica's answers. I'm sorry.
It's all good. Kev, you had your chance last week, but I'd be more than happy to ask you some questions. Artificial turf or grass?
Grass, but, like, here's Nebraska? The thing, turf is the future. Yeah, like it depends on what, if it is it nice, or is it nice grass? Because then 100%. But if
it's a professional field.
Oh, then grass.
Professional like, grass oh field. God.
There's no better feeling than a nice, clean, professional grass pitch.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Perfect. All right. That's the right. That's the right answer. You see?
Yeah.
How do you know, Dave? You were out drinking while Monica and I were out.
Yeah, but when I pass out on a lawn, I'd rather be passed out on a grass lawn than an turf one, no matter how updated it is.
If it's grass that has turned to dirt, then I want the turf, you know?
Right. Like, no, but that wasn't the question.
I think so.
I had to clarify.
Pay attention, damn it. Last song downloaded.
I think half of my butt is still on the Boston College field, so.
Last song downloaded.
J. Cole might delete later his entire album.
Wow. Okay. The entire thing.
Who?
Yeah. J. Cole. He just dropped an album, My Delete Later.
Come on, Kev. You don't know that?
Yeah.
I've just bought the CD. It's actually an 8-track. ABBA.
I've heard of them. The Swedish supergroup.
So many catchy songs. Have you ever heard Waterloo? It's really fantastic.
That's it. Fantastic. You know what? Listen, if you haven't heard about them, they're up and coming.
All right. Sorry.
Cool that we love.
All right. Best Christmas or birthday gift ever?
A trip, I'm going to say. Like a birthday gift that was a trip. So birthday.
That was Kevin's answer last week, too.
Yeah.
What if Monica was Jewish?
Oh, that's true. What holiday gift?
Dave, come on. Man.
That's true.
Thank you for
that's
being
true.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
true. What did you want to be when you grew up? Oh, where was that trip to, by the way?
I'm torn. I was like, don't clarify, because I just had one to the south coast of Jamaica that was very special for a birthday, and I also had a trip in when I was living in Bots. I went to Cape Town for a birthday as well, and Cape Town is an unbelievable exotic. City. So yeah, that's always a fan favorite for me.
You do that hike?
The up to the Table Rocks. I took the tram up. Yeah. I didn't hike it.
The hike is across from that, where you look out at that. You look back across. It's pretty majestic.
No, I didn't do that one. But of course, when we got to the top of Table Rock, the view was just like, it was a cloudy day. Yeah. You couldn't see 10 feet.
Oh, yeah, really? Okay, that's a bummer. Then you're just doing a cable ride into the clouds.
Exactly.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a doctor.
All right.
And that would have been kind of a doctor. Nope, it would have been completely the wrong profession for me. Like, there's.
Well, I was a doctor, but I'm not a doctor, but I played one on TV, so that's.
Yeah. All right, we're wrapping this up. Favorite team uniform.
That's better for me. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Favorite team uniform, men's or women's?
Favorite team uniform? Like any sport, any.
It can be any sport. Why not? Let's get crazy. You got to think about that one. You can get back to us.
I know. I'm sorry.
I don't even understand the question. What is she, going to say? I don't know. You're like synchronized.
There's a lot of good uniforms out there.
I'm thinking about some good like USA kits. Yeah. I should have a quicker answer, but I don't. I'm sorry.
You know, that's definitely a tough one. Well, you know, we'll have you on again and you can answer that. And we're going to wrap it up with if you. And again, these are thought provoking.
Question though, because this is interesting for an American outlaw. I've loved some of the U.S. men's national team's outfits, you know, uniforms, kit, but not others. And it's tough to distinguish. Right. I, even though I see them in my heads, the ones I like, I couldn't say the one where, you know, I like simpler usually.
Yeah. So, but like my instinct truly was like, I love a nice, clean, crisp kit. So like when they just did for 2019, when they had the white, it was the throwback to the 99 on the women's side. Like I like a nice, clean kit. So that was my first instinct. But now I'm even going to throw back like NWSL's kits this year for, I think it's Orlando has like this like peach and it's like orange and like blue. Like that's a nice kit.
That is pretty cool.
San Diego Wave as well came out with a nice kit this season as well.
Very good.
All a loss. Yeah. Today. It really is.
I'm referring to the current kit for the men and women's program as the Bomb Pop kit, like, which is one thing I just want to have at all of our tailgates this season is Bomb Pops for everyone because it is the like red, white, and blue fade.
Bomb Pops. Well, it is. That's the marketing pops. Twist.
Get them. You know, just increase the dues. Increase the dues by $50 and then everybody gets one.
Well, you get a Bomb Pop and a shirt. And of course, it'll come melted, but
All right, final question. Here we go. Whoa. If you could do one thing differently in high school, what would it have been?
High school.
From your days in high school, if you could have changed one thing.
Remember,
this segment is called Getting to Know You. So that's what we're doing. Yeah. We're getting to know you.
My first answer is honestly, like, I wish I would have maybe, like, trained more or, like, trained more intentionally just to become a better footballer. Like, and that's, I think, just the competitor in me where I'm like, I wish I would have, like, actually practiced more outside of normal practice. But also getting to know me, overachiever. Like, I just said it, you know?
Obviously.
Yeah. I think you started three nonprofits in the past half hour while we were speaking.
You know, Monica, that's a really good point for everybody to listen to, young people that, you know, and we've talked about this before. A lot of soccer is so infrastructure driven that you think you have to be in a van going to a tournament to get better and playing on the best team you can. Yeah. When really it's about training on your own, you know, with your brothers or sisters in the backyard for hours and hours and hone those skills. When you do go to practice and you are with a coach, you can learn technique and tactics and all the other stuff as well.
Yeah. And selfishly, like now that I have a great group of friends that are either former professional athletes or like some freestylers now in the soccer world, and they can do all these cool soccer tricks. And I'm like,
yeah,
if I would have just practiced more, maybe I could do this. So I'm still just out in the backyard practicing anyway.
Some of that stuff's amazing. Some of that stuff is amazing, the tricks they do, but it's like, I've actually, there was one guy in college who could do, he could make a hacky sack speak. It was unbelievable the things he could do. We got him on the soccer pitch. He said, oh, I play soccer. He was horrible. Like, dude, the ball's too big for you. What's the problem? My God. So we're like, you know, oh, I mean, you can't do five bong hits and play soccer as well as you can hacky sack on your own in the courtyard. So, Monica, I got to tell you, I've really enjoyed this interview. You are an impressive person, to say the least. And I love the fact that someone who's so passionate about the game, first as a player, you're still playing. You got some years left to do that, but it's so much good in the world. Again, she's the American Outlaws managing director, and then she's the executive director of football for the World Foundation. We love this game. This game can change the world. It really can, Monica, and you are a big part of that. We appreciate you for joining us on Over the Ball.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for the kind words, and continue sharing stories. Super important as well. Absolutely. As a contributor to the game. So appreciate it.
Everybody go to AmericanOutlaws.com. Everybody go do it. We need more American Outlaws.
All right. Thank you, Monica Bosilovac. We appreciate it so much. Have a good one. All right. Yeah, that was great, Dave. That woman is quite impressive. Monica Bosilovac, my goodness, starting nonprofit foundations to help people around the world in college. And now, a managing director of the American Outlaws, or AO, as she said. So
I donated to the ASPCA once.
There you go. See, that's
I know all
that's,
about charity, brother.
You know what, Dave, you know, she was talking about her trip to Botswana and just the world market that's out there. And then sort of us talking about Spain's La Liga and the amount of money they've made this year. I think, you know, the American market is starting to just understand this, not just the market, but business people.
It's interesting that you say that, because I walked past the field the other day and there were kids playing unorganized soccer. In other words, it wasn't an official event. They were just kicking the ball like how, right. You know, like how when you and I were kids, if we're throwing a football or having a baseball catch, you would never see kids just having a kicking the ball unless they were with the dad. So I saw that. So that was really heartwarming. It's it said something to me.
Well, that is part of the zeitgeist now. It's in, you know, it's here. And I tell you, I played professional soccer, but I got to tell you, I don't think I played sort of just pick up soccer till I was, you know, well into my high school years. So it was just always, you know, structured in the rec department or whatever it was. And, you know, everywhere I went, you know, when I was in Argentina earlier this year, just watching the everywhere there was an available space, people were kicking it around. And I think that's the one thing we miss a little bit. But it's slowly creeping into our culture, I think, you know, more than slowly now. Yeah, it's enjoyable to watch. And then a young person like Monica, man, that's just really impressive.
Absolutely. And, you know, her answers to the rapid fire questions were pretty good. I mean, she got a lot of them right. Mia Hamm was the right answer. Messi.
Dave. There is LAFC. No right. It's right to you, though they were right to me as well. I got to say that. So
come on, Kev. I came up with this segment. I get to, you know, decipher what's right or wrong. And by the way, the last song she downloaded, J. Cole, never heard of that artist. So I got to look that up.
I didn't either, but I just tried to remain cool. Yeah, what's up, Kev?
Yeah, sure, man. Yo, what's up? Yeah, I know him. J. Cole, baby.
That's like
J.
the guy Cole. When we were growing up. You know, who's your favorite band? The guy named Marshall Tucker. Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, you didn't want to make a mistake and say, Herman's Hermits?
Well, one guy, I guess, you know, Peter Farrelly, the director, he put it in one of his movies, but he asked the guy, he goes, you know, what kind of music do you like? And the guy's like, I like David Bowie. Wow, you're way off there, man. So good stuff. What do you got going this week? Got any footy you're going
to
watch?
So my wife and I are off to the other side of the pond next week. So actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because we will not be with you guys next week, people. We are taking the week off and we will return the following week.
Yeah, I'll be in. I'm in like Reno, Nevada. Hey, Reno, Nevada. So yeah, if anybody's at the, where am I? I'm at the Laugh Stop. The Laugh Stop. The Laugh Resorts in Toronto. This is the Laugh Stop. I'm in there all week at Pyramid with Jackie Flynn. So, all right, good. We'll have a good time. Will you go to London?
My wife and I are hitting Belgium, England, Germany, and France. We're doing a little world tour we're going to promote the podcast because, as you know, we've been listened to in 50 different countries. Can you believe that? 50 different countries. I can't even name 50 countries. Now I can name Botswana.
And 62 countries don't listen to us. So that's wonderful. And you're going to Belgium. How's your Flemish? You ready?
My Flemish, I'm taking Mucinex, so it's getting a little better.
Look at that. There's an answer. We got comedy going on here. All right, everybody. That's all the time we have today on Over the Ball. I'd like to thank our guests from the American Outlaws, Monica Bosilovac. And I got her name correctly. So I guess we talked to her a little after Croatian descent. So her grandparents are from there. So great soccer DNA, man. That's why she was a college player. All right, Dave, that's it, man. You have a great, great trip there, your world tour going over the pond.
Yes, sir. You enjoy Reno. And congrats on a successful stint with Fear of Heights. Congrats.
Yeah, you did well. Closed this past Sunday, so it was a lot of fun. So, all right, everybody, that's all the time we have on Over the Ball. For Dave Gallego, I'm Kevin Flynn, the Octane Media team. We'll talk to you next time on OTB.
Have comments or questions? Give us a call or shoot us a text at 727-914-9998. 727-914-9998.